Hello, and welcome to another Let's Make. This is Crash, and this is my Let's Make series, where I am making things for my tabletop role-playing games that I run with my friends. And today, we are going to be making a construct. We're going to be making a Scarecrow Mage character, which I think is going to be kind of fun to do. We got a being made of straw casting a fireball. What could possibly go wrong? Everything. You should really be afraid of the Scarecrow that doesn't fear fire, because they have nothing left to fear. But in any case, let's go over to Obsidian to make this character. We're using the new Cypher rules that came out. Well, officially, the new Cypher book for character creation comes out in August. And I'm recording this in July. But in June, the backer kit version came out. So that's what I get to use for this. So if you have the backer kit version also, you get to do this too. Or you can buy the book when it comes out in August. So we are going to go to Obsidian and we are going to make a copy of this character. Well, the character template, and we're going to name this a PC, and it is episode 18, and this is no spaces in there. A Scarecrow Mage. There we go. And I can close the sidebar now because I don't need that. Well, no, I do this every time. I do want to open just long enough to grab the art that I made. The art, well, it's a mashup. I consider it to be public domain because I made it out of entirely public domain resources. The character sheets are a Filthy Human Hands license, and more information about that is in the show notes and also down here in those for the character, which you can get in the notes for wherever you are finding this episode. There should be a link to the zip file that has all the PCs I've made so far. And because I have a buffer for this, you might see some PCs in there that you haven't seen a video for yet. So there's my wonderful character. They are so happy to be providing wanton destruction. They're a joy to behold. Right, so let's go through our flowchart, which if you are following along in the book, it's on page 14 or page 16 if you're using the PDF like I am. And we have our core character sheet. We are going to add 6 points to things, and I am going to add 4 points to intellect, and I am going to add an additional 2 points to speed, because I have a feeling dodging might be kind of important for a mage-type character. So giving myself just a few more points so I can spend on that. Right, so now I can get rid of this note to future me to get rid of that. There we go. And choose 2 skills. Well, let's take a look at the skills that we have. And I peeked ahead for something that I think I might be getting. So I am not going to necessarily pick the skills that you would think I'm going to pick first. Because clearly I would want magic lore, right? I'm holding off on that. I'm holding off on magic lore. I want 2 additional skills. So we are going to go with crafting. That's for self-repair. After all, I'm playing a constructed character. And let's give them another one. Well, I think it would fit the theme of a scarecrow to give them a skill in farming. Almost gave them skill in animal care. Give them a crow familiar. That would be interesting. But no, I'm not going to do that. You can do that. You can make your own character. But this one, I'm going to make my own decisions. All right. And optional 3rd skill and an ability. I'm going to hold off on that. If I feel like I need it, I'll add it in, but I already am going to be adding more skills with other things that I pick. On to the type. Well, I have already said this is going to be a mage. So up here where it says type, we're going to write in mage. And we're going to go to our backstory or background first. Let's see what options we have. You spent your early years studying in a magical academy. Nope, not for this character. 2 days ago, the spellcaster you apprenticed under was murdered. Were they murdered by pirates? I'm told murdered by pirates is good. You apprentice under a cruel teacher who you barely managed to escape, but he still seeks you after all these years. Put a pin in that. You bid on a rare book of arcane lore at last week's auction, but lost to a masked wizard. A trinket your sister called her lucky charm was delivered to you yesterday with no note. You learned your spells from an old book left to you by your uncle, who disappeared mysteriously. And you still keep an eye out for news about him. more by accident than choice, you saved the life of the mayor's adventure-seeking son. A demon who taught you one of your spells showed up last week to call in a favor. I am gonna go with the saving the mayor's son, which, for all we know, they could be another character in the party. That would be hilarious. But this gives me very strong Nick Valentine vibes. And I'm cool with that because, you know, construct saving the life of a mayor's offspring, you know, I think that works. I mean, I can use Cypher to play a Fallout 4 setting. I kind of sort of want to do that. I just need to get enough people interested and have the time to do it. But that's neither here nor there. Mage abilities. You gain all of the following benefits. Able to take 2 more minor wounds and 1 more moderate wound. So we are not nearly as tanky as the other classes, which is fine. Our job is to be in the back and wiggle our fingers. We're going to add 1 to our speed pool. That brings it up to 11. And 3 to our intellect pool. That takes it to 15. And we are definitely going to add the edge in our intellect pool because spellcaster cannot freely use any armor, which makes sense if we're standing in the back wiggling our fingers, or finger equivalents for this particular character. And we gain 1 weapon of choice or accept the equipment bundle weapon. Temptation to get a weapon of our choice and have it be a lightsaber is strong. But they don't have lightsabers in this version. Alas, that has been depreciated. In the previous Cypher, they called it a plasma sword, by the way. So we are going to go to equipment and we're going to paste this in. So things that we have a dagger. We have appropriate clothing. We have a spell book, which also serves as a field journal for taking arcane notes. And if we're going to have a field journal, of course, we're going to have a pen. We're going to have ink to keep all the stuff. We have a backpack. We have a bedroll, 50 feet of rope, matchsticks, a magnifying glass, 3 torches. Why is it the spellcasters don't get tinderboxes? They have to use matchsticks. And they have a limited number. Tinderbox, okay, you can use up the materials inside a tinderbox. That is physically possible. But you can light way more fires with a tinderbox than you can with 10 matches. 3 days of rations and water. That is, quite frankly, a lot of water. 2 flasks of oil. And enough extra currency to buy a moderately priced item. Okay. Let's scroll back up to what else we've got. At tier 3 and tier 6, we're getting additional abilities from the fantasy genres ability list. And at tier 1, we gain the following abilities. And it's going to start with Blast, then Mage Armor, and then Prepare Spell. Now, we have done Prepare Spell before. So I'm actually going to copy-paste the formatting for that after I paste in these 2 abilities. So I need to select that bullet point and paste it there. And now let's go through, make that bold and make this bold. And now let's change the formatting for this because my gosh, it's a lot of word wrap. All right, Blast costs 1 intellect, but for me it's free because I got an edge of 1. That might've been intentional. You emit a short range blast of energy, inflicting 4 damage on a target with a successful attack roll. Work with the GM to determine the type of energy comprising your blast. You can tune the effect to make it be hot enough to slice through material of up to level 5 that's no more than 1 foot thick if given a few rounds to concentrate on doing so. Okay, that's kind of nice. And this right here where it says you can tune, that is actually... because I missed that word wrap. There we go. We're changing this live. There we go. That is a new paragraph, so we're going to put that down there. And then new paragraph after that for this. If you have another damaging attack ability from your focus or your type, you can use Blast to augment that ability, increasing its damage by 1. Okay, so there's no redundancy. You're just making things better. And if I spend effort, I gain fine control over the effect until I use a 10-minute or longer recovery, varying the intensity you wish to, as you wish, within immediate range. For instance, You can use it to warm the area, cook food without burning it, provide bright light in the area, and so on. Increase the maximum level of material that you can cut through by one. And this is an action to attack. Last action to initiate find control. Enabler to augment other attack ability. Interesting. I kind of like that. And we have... There is a paragraph here that I don't know how it got there. Because I'm looking at the rule book. And the text ends here. And then you go down to the next page, and the first bit of text is mage armor. Oh, give me a second. Okay, I see what I did. In the Cypher book, there are plenty of sidebars that provide additional information. When I selected these two abilities and brought them over, I selected the sidebar too. Which is why this feels like it's somewhat out of context, but not really, because it's specifically talking about the blast ability and how we might rename it. And I kind of want to just leave that there. Can I paste in that formatting? Yeah, we can leave this here, and I'm going to dagnabbit because it is relevant to this. And if I end up using this as a pre-made character in one of my games, it is possible that the person playing this character will want this information for how they are flavoring things. But I do need to... why is there an M dash? I hate M dashes. There we go. Side note, while I'm doing this, LibreOffice is a wonderful tool that I use because I don't like using Microsoft stuff. But one thing that it will do is if you use a dash between words, it will automatically turn it into an M dash. And if you don't like that, you have to manually go back in and change it back after you have written something after the dash. Otherwise, it auto corrects every single time. And I don't like that. But now that I've made that formatting change, Mage Armor is our next ability. One intellect, again, costs us nothing. An invisible field of energy surrounds you until you use a 10-hour recovery. Oh, wow. So that's the thing where you wake up in the morning, you cast Mage Armor. You just have it on all the time. This allows you to try blocking attacks with an eased intellect defense roll instead of a might defense roll. Nice. If you succeed, you reduce the severity of the wound by one step, and that is an action. At tier 3, your intellect defense roll to block on an attack is eased by 2 steps total. Okay, that's kind of nice. And the third thing that we're getting as a mage is prepare spell, which I already gave to the vulture necromancer. They didn't start with prepare spell, but because I gave them the cast spells foci, they gained it. So we are going to go here. And we're going to select everything down to here, including the prepared spell section. Although I'm not going to have this character have the same prepared spell. That would be redundant. I almost said silly. It wouldn't be silly. It's a powerful spell, but it would be somewhat redundant. Okay, so let's see if I can do this properly. Can I paste? Yes, it worked. And I am going to change that cipher to just 2 dashes, and I'm going to delete the description because I'm going to give them a different mundane cipher for their prepared spell. What that will be, I haven't decided yet. I mean, it would make a lot of sense to give them dark sight because Dagnabbit dark sight is powerful. However, we're not going to do that right now. So taking a look at this, I think I've done everything that I can do with the mage type. Now we are moving on to a descriptor, which will give us +2 to one pool, and we will gain 1 skill. So let's go to our descriptors list. We have a lot of fun descriptors. Bookish would make sense because mage, but does this look like the character that reads a lot of books? They don't look like they are a character with a functional face. That's just sewn on there for aesthetics purposes. So I'm not sure, bookish would work quite right for them. Calm, cautious, no. Chaotic? They're a scarecrow who casts fireballs. That's rather chaotic. Gonna put a pin in that. I might pick that one. Clever would make sense. Yes, let's go with clever. Clever, rather. You are quick-witted, thinking well on your feet. You understand people, so you can fool them, but are rarely fooled. Because you easily see things for what they are, you get the lay of the land swiftly, size up threats and allies, and assess situations with accuracy. Perhaps you are physically active. Not this character. Maybe you use your wit to overcome any physical or mental imperfections, or perhaps you have tuned your mind to compromising digital devices because you're just that clever. We're in a fantasy setting. If I am compromising digital devices, I am in fact quite clever. So they are clever. We're going to add another 2 to our intellect. Takes it to 17. And we are going to be, I'm going to say, trained in deception because they tend to look like a scarecrow. There we go. Actually, no, we are going to do recognizing motive. There we go. Recognizing motive. I think that will have different applications. And I'm still going to get deception because I'm going to do something else in a little bit. So we've got our descriptor done. There will be another descriptor here because they're a construct, and I am going to homebrew that. Sneak peek over here. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Now we are up to our focus. And for our focus, we are going to do a focus that I have looked at before. It was in the first cipher, and I thought it was neat. They are going to be a clever construct mage who doesn't do much. They spend most of their time being outstanding in their field, or at least they did until the adventure started. So, of course, they are not going to be doing much if they're just hanging out there watching. So, I am picking this because of that whole flavor, but also the tier 1 abilities are quite useful for a mage. So, GM intrusions, we are going to copy paste this and put it over here. Usually I read these before I do this, but I already picked this, so I know I'm going to be picking this one. So, new situations are confounding and stressful. Past actions or inactions come back to haunt the character. Oh my gosh, yes. That is RP gold for a scarecrow character. Awesome. Now, we have 3 possible tier 1 abilities. We are picking 2 of them. Joy in small things. When you learn or figure out something important as determined by your GM, you regain 4 points to your intellect pool. Use this. Each use of this ability after the first time restores 1 fewer pool point. This renews after you take a 10-hour recovery. So if the plot is moving forward, this effectively gives us 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 more points of intellect throughout a day's worth of effort, using the traditional definition of effort, not cipher definition of effort there. I can't see why I wouldn't pick this. This is amazing. So yes, joy in small things. We are picking that and bold the name and fix the formatting. Now, it is possible that we won't move the plot forward very much, but if I'm spending a lot of points of intellect to the point, using the word again, where I can use more fuel in the tank, that's going to be fantastic. This feels incredibly overpowered, and I like that. Now, it'll become less useful as I level up and my edge increases. But as I level up, I'm facing more powerful foes, so I'm spending more effort, which means I'm using more intellect, so this could work. And the other one I'm going to pick, the one I'm not going to pick is picking up the slack, where I can fill in for a skilled ally when they're unable to perform a specific task. So they walk me through it, and I do the thing. Which, that could definitely work for a lot of characters that are in the doesn't do much category. but I think what would work better would be life lessons. We're going to bold that again. You've learned a little of this and that from standing in a field and watching people, and you have a knack for getting things done, which is hilarious considering I don't do much. Choose any two non-combat skills. And the combat skills are all locked to tier levels anyway, so there you go. When you use effort on either of those skills, you can apply a free level of effort. There we go. So I'm going to pick my two skills, and guess what those are going to be? There's going to be deception. And what was, how's wording it? It would be called Arcana in Magic the Gathering. Not Magic the Gathering, in Dungeons and Dragons, which is owned by Wizards of the Coast, so is Magic the Gathering. But never mind. Magic lore is what it's called. So what I'm going to do, we're going to say both of those are trained, but we are going to include this text. No, we're not. We're just going to write trained includes free level of effort. And taking a look at the wording here. Yeah, effort is capitalized, so I should probably be capitalizing it here also. Which, in effect, if I max it out, I am able to reduce a target number more with these two skills than any other skill. Because if I'm specialized, I'm still including another free level of effort on top of that. So that makes these two my most powerful ones. Neat. I almost went with having recognized motive be that. But I really like the idea that I just get really good at playing dead. Or playing was never alive in the first place. Okay, so I've got my two abilities added in now to work on my species. Which, for those of you who are new to this Let's Make series, I am working on a collection of homebrew species types. Type is a different term. A homebrew species for the new version of Cypher. I had a homebrew list before of a bunch of species, most of which were different types of animal people who I referred to as kin, with different categories. But if I just moved those over to the new Cypher, they'd be way more powerful than any other species. So I'm balancing them out by recreating them from scratch. So I am making a constructed character, which anything that is built. So a scarecrow, the Tin Man. Although the Tin Man might be considered a cyborg, technically. Although I think lore-wise, there was nothing left of the original person. They were all tin at that point. A Frankenstein's monster, Pinocchio, the T-800, minus the skin on top. But let's not get too creepy. All of those are considered constructs. So that is, and it says constructed because I'm keeping, let's change this to construct. Construct works better. All right. Now, you might say, but Crash, I have a copy of the book that you have, and I looked through the science fiction section because you previously had a thing where you just said, hey, this thing, this species in the sci-fi section fits perfectly, so we're just doing that. So I looked in the sci-fi section. And there's a species called cyborg. Why couldn't you just use that? Well, strange person who came up with this specific question, how odd that you're doing this and how did you get into my apartment? The problem with picking cyborg for this is it is very much built for a sci-fi setting. So you are trained in hacking. I cannot make an argument that I'm just going to include computers in a fantasy setting. I want these to be able to exist in fantasy, sci-fi, even superhero settings. So if I do that, right. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to pause the recording. I'm going to write this up. When we come back, I will go over what I have done. And we're back. So construct, you were crafted, not born. Perhaps you came off an assembly line and, through some quirk, gained sentience where your siblings remained only semi-autonomous. Less likely, all of your siblings are sentient. More likely, that's a comma, not a period. Let's copy edit that. More likely, you are bespoke, uniquely crafted by an artisan. I don't like how I have the comma there. You are bespoke. Uniquely crafted by an artisan. And actually, no, let's go back. I like this better. You are bespoke, uniquely crafted by an artisan and given life through their genius, force of will, or unique magical aptitude. There's a strong chance you were built with a singular purpose in mind, but that doesn't mean that's still your goal in life. Like a child to a parent, your feelings for your creator or creators may be simple or complex, and ties might be strong or broken. You gain the following characteristics. Right, so first thing I did was thinking about how they're constructed. One of the things that threw me off for Warforged in Dungeons & Dragons, because it all comes back to Dungeons & Dragons, is a heal spell worked just fine on a Warforged character. And there were some spells that specifically dealt with things like souls and such. And because the characters all needed to have some common ground, they would just work on constructs no matter what. And some of that makes sense. We're going to hand wave and say a wizard did that. In some cases, we're going to hand wave and say a cleric did that, but that's besides the point. But what I like for the construct here that I've done is, if you are attempting to treat injuries, there are rules for that, and I included them here, page 301 in the rule book. You use the healing skill. Now, if you don't have a healing skill, you can still make the roll, but the healing skill, if you are trained or better in it, it's going to make the roll easier. So for constructs, you are using the crafting skill instead of the healing skill because you're repairing. You're not putting a Band-Aid on it. You're spot wielding it, or insert other thing here. Now, while you still need downtime to rest, you do not need to eat, drink, or breathe. Breath, I wrote. Breathe has an E at the end. There we go. The GM may require some other consumable means by which you restore energy. I'm thinking of the Scarecrow character in... Legends of Avernus had a Scarecrow character for one of their campaigns. Began with a J, and I'm blanking on his name otherwise. Where he would still eat, but he would just take the food that was offered, his mouth would open wide, and you'd see like the glow of a flaming furnace in there, and he just tossed the food in there, and it was consumed by fire, and by burning it, he gained energy. That's how it was played up. So that still might be a thing, but maybe not with food. It might be something else. Maybe this Scarecrow character, if I drag this over here, maybe this character keeps needing to restuff their head with straw that keeps falling out over time. And they can't use the same straw over and over again. They have to get new, fresh straw each time. And if they're not using straw, they have to use something else, but it's not as good. So they get inabilities or things like if you ate food that was started to rot, that could be a thing. In my Cogworld setting, there are already these canisters. I'm not going to go into all the lore behind them, but they are the energy sources. It takes some effort to make them. Most characters will never make their own. They're just, you find ones that have been built and you buy them or whatever. But they are effectively the heat source or source of explosion, if you use them improperly, that creates steam, which powers everything because it's a steampunk setting. So how that works for a Scarecrow, I'm not going to plan that out right now. And the last thing is you don't get a GM intrusion if you roll a 1 on intellect defense roll. As a construct, that kind of makes sense. So I am going to put these right here. There we go. And let's wrap this up. You are a clever Scarecrow construct. Clever Scarecrow construct mage who doesn't do much. And let's give them a name that fits with... If someone built a Scarecrow just to put out in their field, what would they call them? Let's call them Rags, because that's what their clothing is most likely. They are Rags the Scarecrow. All right, friends, thanks for hanging out with me while I make this character for an upcoming Cypher campaign, most likely going to be a pre-made. I am going to find that button to play myself out. All right, music you're hearing is Bubble Machine by Drozerix. It's in the public domain. Get it from modarchive.org. All the stuff that I make eventually finds its way to aaronbsmith.com. You can go there to get all the stuff without ads. If you are getting ads in the content from me, I didn't put them there. Go to Aaron B. Smith to get it. It also has links to all my Fediverse presences and all that. And I have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. Help us keep the lights on along with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Liv Droman, Paul, Walter, and Patron Emeritus Cindy. And until next time, this is Crash saying have fun.